Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. You can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data, 1H2025 compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Ooh. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
And Scott Harris, yeah, it's a step forward in certain players, things like that. It was completely the same as far as how far the team went from the year before. There was one thing that I think kind of resonated with fans, though, that he hadn't done before. Well, he talked about basically staying. He couldn't go to sleep because of what was going on, watching this team struggle offensively. And I know people, who cares what he says? Well, you have to take that in both ways. If we're going to parse everything they say at press conferences and call them full of crap, then you have to go the other way as well. So I like that. It made him, whether he meant it or not, I think it made him look more human. And I think that's, whether it means anything, I don't know. But I think when you're invested, like fans are, you're also invested in ownership. You're also invested as a general manager and an executive and as a manager. And if people think that only the fans are the ones that get pissed off and upset, you're wrong. These guys do too, because it's their livelihood. If this team, you know, goes down the old you-know-what year after year, they lose their jobs. So it was bizarre the way the season did happen.
I mean, it was, Tony. It's just the game five just represented everything that this season was.
Oh, yeah.
From, okay, I think we got a chance of winning this thing, to, okay, look, you know, Skubal, best pitcher in baseball, look at him out there dominating, to, wait, he's leaving now, and now you're putting somebody else in, now the game's tied. Okay, and now we're going to play the game of who's going to blink first, who's going to make the first mistake. And Lord knows it got to the point neither team wanted to win this thing.
Yeah.
Both teams had guys stranded on third base, second base, you know, one out, no outs. And in the end, it got down to all of a sudden, who's going to be that last guy? You're going to put Canley in, or is it going to be Mize? No, it's not going to be Mize, and that's ball game. 15 innings later, you stayed up way too late. You took the entire roller coaster ride. And similar to the season, Stoney,
right?
I think a lot of Tigers fans were like, you know what? Just end this damn game.
Oh, yeah.
Just let me go to sleep.
It's a Friday night. People had places to go on Saturday. So, you know, at least they didn't have work to go. But, yeah, it was brutal. I kind of thought that they were going to get ahead. I thought that Javi, of all people, was going to drive in the winning run, and he got his bat sawn off, and it went right to Suarez. You know, if it goes any other way.
I mean, the entire time I kept thinking, okay, who's going to be that guy that – because I'm thinking it's going to be just some no-name guy from either team that's just going to hit the home run.
Well, the no-name guy tied the game.
Yes, he literally came off the bench, first swing of the bat ever in the playoffs.
Happy birthday.
Right, and okay. And then I thought, he's going to hit the game-winning home run. He's just going to step up there. No, okay, that didn't happen. And then I'm just thinking, like, who? Like, then I thought maybe AJ's going to bring somebody off the bench.
Yeah, I didn't understand why. I mean,
I'm like, will it be, you know, will a Jake Rogers step up there and just win this whole thing? Like,
well, he had Jamai Jones sitting there. He had Ibanez sitting there. I know they weren't lefties, so that's why they sat. But, you know, they really didn't have another lefty in their bullpen except for one guy, what, Ferguson, I think is his name. And I don't think they were going to use him. So, you know, and it did represent a microcosm of the season because how many times did we say, you know, why don't you just let Kerry Carpenter, you know, bat against lefties? You know, he'll never get – and he hit the home run off of a lefty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, some ticket text, David.
Harris reeled in another load of suckers yesterday. If you believe a word he said, the Tigers aren't aggressive this offseason while we have Scooble next year. Well, screw that team.
We might not have Scooble next year.
Mm-hmm.
They should trade him.
Well, which leads me to this next text. Thought the season as a whole ended up being a waste of time. It was a failure of a season, and now they are going to be without their best pitcher in baseball next season. Hey, guys, this season was better than last because, again, Rico, you're right. We played six more innings. Just kidding. We need to trade Scooble because he is not the horse we need and get some bats. Mike in South Carolina. And a lot of that sentiment is coming across the text of trading Scooble.
Yeah. I don't know if you're necessarily going to trade Scooble. It seems like the smart move. But I kind of got a feeling this may go the way of Scherzer, where you just ride it until the wheels come off, right, and he walks and you get nothing. In order to trade Scooble, you have to admit there's a window. And if you're in that window, it's the best thing for the organization. Mm-hmm. I don't think they want to admit they're in a window right now. They're like, oh, no, we're all fine and well. And I think that I would love for it to happen, Stoney.
Yeah,
I think a lot of people are going to be disappointed because Scooble's going to be your opening day starter next year, and we're going to go through another year of this, and in the end, he's going to walk.
Yeah.
And in the end, you won't win anything with him.
That's why they should trade him, and this is a major if, it's something I really don't foresee, unless they go and make some noise in the offseason and bring in some – and make the team better. And say, you know what, we're just going to keep Scooble and, you know – We're all in for 1 year, and whatever happens, if we win it, who cares if he leaves?
They are going to make some noise in the offseason. Kevin McGonigal and Max Anderson, right?
Or Max Clark, one of them. I don't know.
They're going to be
McGonigal.
They're going to be good, right? Well,
that's okay. I got no problem with that. I want them to play.
So basically, they're going to turn
no
into the wings.
There's no guarantee that they'll come out swinging.
Correct.
So they're going to be the wings, and they're going to bring up the kids finally, is what we're saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, it's the right time to do it.
Yes.
It's just with the fans out there thinking, okay, they're going to do this. That doesn't mean they're going to be the major league hitter that you want and need right
Correct.
Now.
No, here's the thing.
It may take time.
Yes.
And here's what I don't know if they realize or not. I think the fans, last year, it was cool because you hadn't made the playoffs in a long time.
Right.
Now I think the fans have gotten a taste of the playoffs. They've gotten a taste of the second round. They've seen two game fives that you've lost. Fans want to see a championship team here.
Right.
And I don't think that that's asking too much to have this baseball team make moves to become a championship team.
Right.
Do you need to break the bank? No. But can you at least get to a top 15 payroll and go out there and find some, get some guys? Don't add any
dead
weight.
What were they this year, like 18th or 19th? They were like middle of the pack.
They were middle of the pack.
Yeah.
So add a little bit more in payroll.
Right, and don't waste $15 million on Alex frickin' Cobb.
Yeah, because, you know, I was waiting for him to come in, and I guess they were waiting for the 17th inning. Cobb was going to come into the game. Yeah. Charlie Morton was going to pitch 16th inning.
Mm-hmm. Hey, but Charlie got to retire and finish out his career with the Braves, so that was a good thing.
Nice retirement package.
Yes. Exactly. And then that was the other thing when he said yesterday that I didn't like. Well, they got Paddock and, you know, Charlie Morton, and they knew that they weren't going to really be contributors in the playoffs.
Then why get them? Yeah. Because they look good. Hey, we made moves, but you knew they weren't going to play. So, no. Okay.
They panicked a little bit when Olsen got hurt, basically, is what happened. He needed another starter.
They did.
That's what happened.
Any more ticket texts? I'm sorry.
Well, yeah, I expect the Tigers to do little to nothing in the offseason. They believe the first half Tigers are the real version because it allows them to rationalize not spending, which ultimately is the edict from ownership.
See, I think that, you know, it sucked what happened, but I think it also might have woken them up that they weren't living this delusions of grandeur. And they said, okay, this is what these guys really are. So maybe we will do something.
See, and that's the part of the press conference that I didn't like. Because factually, yes, he had some all-stars. He had some everyday all-stars. They were in the all-star game. They were named all-stars.
Okay.
Yeah. But in reality,
no,
they were not all-stars.
No.
And I think as a GM, because he talked about a lot of, you have to look ahead. 30,000 feet above or whatever right. He's saying he has to look. He had to look at that before the deadline and say, okay, you know what? I can find someone to replace McKinstry if I need to.
Correct.
Put him on the bench. Like, he has to understand that. I didn't like that part of the press.
Yeah, you didn't have real loss. You had a bunch of alternates.
Yes.
That doesn't count.
Right.
Alternates, to be honest.
Javi got voted in. I mean, it was ridiculous.
Okay, you know what? Here's the thing. I'm not mad at Javi.
Neither am I.
He actually deserved it for the first half of the year.
Everyone else was an alternate of the alternate.
Right. So I was okay. He was like, oh, it's Javi. But you know what? He was playing well and quiet as kept.
And Tuar Torres was voted on too.
Quiet as kept. Javi Baez was probably one the best player in the playoffs.
Yes.
Javi came through.
Yes.
You could see that the Seattle pitchers were trying to get him to swing at those Sister Jean pitches, and he was like, nah, not doing it, not doing it.
No, I got no problem with Javi at all. I mean, he's going to be on the team next year. That's fine, you know, as long as he doesn't go into regression. 248-539-9797. Let me take this call. No, I won't take this call. We'll take it later. 97 won the ticket.
Good morning, 97.1, Jim Costa, John Jansen, Heather Park, Gov and Greg behind the glass, Brendan Shabath on the updates. Good morning, big boy.
Good morning. I don't forget what I'm supposed to call you anymore.
Well, you have to prove it with Heather first.
Yeah. Well, if I got a big mouth, I can say whatever the heck I want, right?
So, sure can.
Hey, good morning, buddy.
Big mouth.
Heather, good morning.
Big guy. Good morning, guys.
What's up?
What's going on?
It's another Wings win, so we can celebrate that, right?
Yeah.
Take that.
I would like them to make the playoffs very much, John.
I disagree with that feeling for you. You've already said you kind of don't.
I've picked them to miss the playoffs. That's not the same thing as wanting them to miss the playoffs.
Yeah, I know, but it's
John,
it feels
I'm honest with our listeners. I'm not going to BS them. If I don't think they're making it, they're not making it. That doesn't mean I won't go to the game and root for them or cheer them on or hashtag let's go Red Wings.
So words matter. If you think they're not making it, they're not making it. I mean, you think they're not making it. They still could make it.
Yeah. I just mean I'm going to tell people what I think.
Okay.
That's what I'm paid to do every day is tell people what I think.
Sure.
Not anything more than that.
Okay.
But at the end of the day, you know, I'm a fan.
And yeah.
It's my favorite team. I want to see him win.
All right. Is it like Doug had at the beginning of the year, was his favorite 1-3 baseball team? Is this your favorite 2-1 Red Wings team?
No, John. I have several more favorite Red Wings teams in my lifetime. But hey, it's good to see him bounce back. Honestly, a game that you could say they, quote, didn't deserve to win. So you steal it. Your goalie saves 39 shots. Your team
outshot almost 3-1.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all about the ones that find the back of the net.
And when push comes to shove, final minute of the game, it's who else but Mason Appleton. Mm-hmm. Brand new Red Wing playing in the bottom six, coming up with a big goal for the team. And he had to step up and play some of the first line with Lucas Raymond going down with an injury. So we'll keep an eye on that. Hey, go ahead.
What'd you think about our buddies Scott and AJ yesterday?
Yeah, so an hour-long media availability where they spoke for a long time and answered a ton of questions. I actually came away, I don't know if impressed is the right word. I appreciated the level of detail that they went into.
Yeah.
I thought Scott showed contrition. He acknowledged the negative narratives and said that we've earned those negative narratives. You know, I think he said, I deserve to be questioned. I mean, these aren't things that you typically would have expected, John. So I do think he had to walk a fine line of, hey, man, the organization is in a much better spot than when he took over. And I don't dispute that. Back-to-back playoff appearances, much healthier farm system. The arrow is up. While at the same time stressing to this fan base that it's not good enough. And I thought they walked a very fine line in doing so yesterday when meeting with the media.
There was a fine line of, I mean, here's where we were for 5 months out of the season. And then here's where things ended. And in regards to figuring out, you know, I mean, his whole thing has all been about, you know, valuing the strike zone. And at the plate, they obviously, you know, he discussed that pretty at length yesterday.
Yes.
About what went wrong, figuring that out, and, you know, putting things in place so that, and you know, so that doesn't happen again. And I did like, there's a couple of comments that I like that, you know, this is a better, making it a better situation for, you know, when McGonigal and Max Clark come up, that they are put into a better situation than when Parker Meadows and, you know, came up versus when Green and Torque came up, all of those different things. I like that. But I think the comment that I like the most came from AJ Hinch. And his comment was, we're not going to be naive and think we could just run it back and do this again.
Yeah.
Like that to me was okay. Because last year it felt like, all right, let's let the young guys, don't block the young guys. Let's run it back. And it's just going to be, we're getting better because we're getting older. And it's the progression of these players. Well, okay, it worked for a little while, but it didn't work for an entire season.
At the same time, they didn't box themselves into anything because the comments about McGonigal, like how could his progress not shape our offseason? They anticipate he will be on the team at some point next season.
Right.
So they won't block him. I do wonder, like, they need multiple bats. Where are they going to play multiple bats? And do they have the guts to tell current players on the team, see ya?
Well, yes. And which of those players is it going to be? And in regards to, I mean, there was some discussion. They didn't use names and they didn't use, you know, the word strikeout, but they talked about swing and miss. And they talked about swings, and I got to believe that, you know, even though you ended up with 36 home runs and what is 111 RBIs, Riley Green's going to have to address the swing and miss. I kind of felt like that was, there was a lot of, we're not going to name names about who might have been available on the market to us and what we would have had to give up, but we could connect the dots.
Yeah, I mean, with that specifically, you're talking about the deadline. I mean, he walked us all the way up to, without saying,
yeah,
they wanted Troy Melton.
Right.
And Suarez didn't do jack. That was the subtext of what he said.
Yeah.
And I think, first of all, I'm not going to dispute. I don't know that. I'll take his word for it. Apparently, they wanted Melton, we'll say.
Yeah.
I know Suarez was not traded for a Melton-level player, so it's then back on you, dude, to negotiate a lower trade. And you were unable to do it. And it's not like Suarez was the only player that was allowed to be traded for at Major League Baseball's deadline, which Scott Harris did acknowledge. Like, yeah, I do question if we should have added a bat.
Yeah.
So I do think there was a level of admission that I didn't necessarily expect yesterday.
Yeah. There was no, McKinstry talk?
There was not. About, hey, what do you mean? We had a bunch of all-star. Although they did say.
So you lost on the bingo card.
Oh, Vierling.
Vierling, yeah, sorry, yeah.
I don't think Vierling came up, no. But they did say, and it was kind of weird, because he walked back some of it, he admitted some stuff, he didn't admit other stuff. He said, well, at the time of the deadline, our offense was top 10 in baseball, and we had all these all-stars. And I thought it was a really fair follow-up to say, yeah, but you have to forecast. You're not just going to be able to say, well, what we are today is what we are at the end of the year. Pitching's going to get tougher. Races are going to tense up. And you didn't give this team the bolstered reinforcements to be ready for any kind of regression. So I don't know where it leads.
Well, that's going to be the big question is, all right, you know, of free agents or trade prospects, who are they going to go after to add bats to this lineup? What are they going to do with the number one question that we all want to know? And it will shape this team, not just next year. and not just in 27, but could shape this team for, what, the next half a decade?
You're talking Scooble.
Yeah.
What did you make of his, I guess, non-answer? His admission that he can't answer without getting kind of caught in a narrative?
Yeah.
He said, I've learned that I can't really answer this question the right way. There's no right way.
Right. So he's just not going to discuss it all, which I get that.
Sure.
Like, so whatever he says, right, we're going to take a little soundbite, and then you and I may say it means this. Aha! And then Doug and Gator may think, well, mm-hmm. it means this. And then a third opinion at from 2 to 6 could... It means this. And then Rieger and Wojo, like there's four different narratives that come out of the same comment. So I get why he's doing that. He doesn't want to pin himself into any situation.
Okay, but
in the offseason.
Correct me if I'm wrong. He could say, he did not say, he could say, we have every intention of signing Tarek Skubal to a long-term contract. What would be the downside in saying that? That it's not true? That's not how they feel? We have every indication, because later on he was asked, will you have the resources from ownership? And he said, of course. So if you have the resources and you do not come up to the podium and say, oh yeah, we're going to have a contract in front of him this offseason, that doesn't mean he has to accept it. Now you put the ball back in their court and say, we're going to give them a very strong offer. We want to extend Tarek Skubal. Did you watch that guy pitch? We want him in the Old English D till he doesn't pitch anymore. Why not say that?
Because, well, I mean, we're just spitballing.
Yeah.
Here. So it could be, you know, hey, we have every intention and the resources are there. And then maybe it leaks that, you know, the Dodgers have said that they're going to pay more, which we all know is a high likelihood.
You're saying in the following offseason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so if, and no matter what the Tigers offer him, unless they are going to go way above and beyond market value, do you not believe that he's going to pitch this year and then wait for free agency?
Yeah, but in this way, you protect yourself as an organization. You make him the bad guy. We love him. We want to pay him. He doesn't want to accept. He's a bad guy. He forced our hand. We had to trade him.
Right, but that can all come out after.
Sure.
And I just think it's all better for it to remain, because then all of a sudden, if you say something and, you know, now, agents can shape that how they want to, yep. And the players will going to be listening to the agent. They're going to be talking to them way more in the offseason than they will be to Scott Harris or AJ Hinch. So I'm fine with it's just best to say nothing at this point, because it can be a very hot button, volatile topic.
And I think we all know where it's headed, whether they say it or not. We'll do that at 6:50 this morning. We've got Greg Palm at 6:35. Got a bunch of undefeated teams still left standing in college football. We'll get the top 12 from the mind of Greg Hargrave. One other thing that came out of Hinch and Harris, Colt Keith.
Yeah.
They kind of kept the possibility of him playing everywhere open.
Mm-hmm.
Said he's get more comfortable with third, even more than second. He played some first. That he's not going to have a home necessarily. They're going to like his flexibility. Where are they adding the bat positionally? Because we all acknowledge they need to add a bat, probably two bats, ideally one that plays in the top five of this lineup. I'm assuming Gleyber won't be back. Where are they going to add bats to this team positionally?
Well, I think by leaving that position flexibility open, they could add a third baseman, or they could add
a second baseman.
Mm-hmm. They could even add another first baseman.
Yeah, corner outfielder.
Right.
And, DH type.
And so I think it is more important the side of the plate that he hits from versus his position. So by keeping position flexibility open, now all of a sudden, hey, if we get a right-handed bat that's a second baseman, we can go that route. Third baseman, we can go that route. Outfielder, we can go that route, because they got so many left-handed hitters. But then the question is, let's dig deeper down that rabbit hole, is how many of these left-handed bats do they actually want back?
Who is the core?
Yeah.
248-539-9797, the hotly anticipated postseason press conference between AJ Hinch and Scott Harris. Getting some of the takeaways on that. It's 97.1.
Well, it's not nighttime, but at least there's one freak here. Mike's in New York. The freak is me, Stoney. Rico, ladies and gentlemen, Kenny Hatchett. How are you, everybody? Everybody good?
I was really wondering where you were going with this.
Kind of a freak. Okay. More so on back when I was younger, but yeah, kind of a freak.
Stoney's freak stories. 248. No.
No. No need to bring back Len Bias stuff. Okay. Rico, I just want to ask you one question right now. Mm-hmm. Do you hate Jake Moody more or less after last night?
Oh, I love him. Oh, he helped me win. Okay. I absolutely love him.
Oh, okay. I was just thinking because he sucked for your 49ers.
Oh, he's somebody else's problem now, yeah. but
he came through.
I had the Bears and 4.5 points, so.
Yeah.
Yep, he helped me.
Well, that's why you're wearing a DeAndre Swift jersey today.
Yeah,
he played pretty well, man. He's having a pretty good season.
When the fumble happened, I was like, wait a minute, I may win this thing.
Yeah.
I thought, okay, they're going to kick a field goal. It's going to be a five-point game. I end up losing. Dang.
That was like so like full circle from their game last year.
Yes.
You know, you think the Bears are going to win. They have the freaky Hail Mary play. And this week, you think the Commanders are going to win, and then they ridiculous fumble.
So, no, in the rain. So, yeah. Hey, I'll take it. Moody, fine as a Bear. Trust me, Lions fans, you're going to love the fact he's a Bear because he's going to miss a lot of field goals for the Bears.
Probably.
Plain and simple.
I don't even know if he's going to have his job back once the regular kicker comes back from the injury. You never know because the regular kicker was doing pretty well. All right. The telephone number is 248-539-9797. I was telling Doug and Gator earlier in crosstalk. Let's talk about what you guys didn't really get into yesterday because you only had an hour show after the big Red Wings win over the Toronto Maple Leafs. Speaking of jerseys, Kenny's got his Mason Appleton jersey on right now, right? Anyway, come on. Let's fly. So I was at the Scott Harris press conference yesterday, and I was stunned. It was with AJ Hinch, too, that it was an hour. I give them credit. They didn't cut anything off. They just went as long as people ran out of questions.
No, and I think they had to because there was a lot of questions that people wanted to answer. Yeah. And I do applaud them for kind of standing up there and taking the bullets. And you guys, I listened, and you guys fired away. Mm-hmm. There was no soft shoe. There was no, it was some tough questions, and they gave some honest answers.
Right.
They spun it their way.
Of course.
But they gave answers where I was just assuming they would say, well, we don't really want to do that. We don't really want to talk about that. Let's just focus on this. It was like, yeah. In hindsight, maybe. Yeah. I mean, the Suarez taking a stray, like, dude, if you're going to give him a stray, say his name.
Right.
Okay, don't do that. Because last time I checked, he hit a home run here. He's still playing.
Correct.
You're not.
Right.
That's why you're giving the press conference.
Yeah, and there was, other relievers, too, that, a lot of people wanted. What, Hemsley from St. Louis, who went to the Mets and just completely bombed. I know. I was a big fan of Jake Bird of Colorado. He pitched for the Yankees for, two games, and then they got rid of him. So, look, everything that people wanted were not hits. So Scott Harris is correct in that. But he should have realized that they needed another bat. And he, basically said, yeah, we probably could have, but we didn't. So he didn't. The bottom line to me, I don't know if anybody else saw this or figured this out because I think it was pretty obvious. If we believe Scott Harris, and I don't think he would lie, it seemed like every deal that we thought they should make, the other team wanted Troy Melton. Because he talked about, not giving up a guy who actually helped us during the playoffs, and he definitely did.
Yeah.
A young pitcher.
And that's the only young guy that helped in the playoffs,
right?
Was Troy Melton.
Right. And he was a guy, and everybody said, like, for Suarez, and I don't remember exactly what the haul, because it wasn't as big as what people thought, that Seattle had to give up to Arizona to get him. But everybody was saying, well, Arizona wants young pitching. And as all the great prospects the Tigers have, young pitching is not
one of them.
It's not that, it's all position players. So maybe there's some truth to that. Maybe he wanted these guys and didn't want to part with Troy Melton. And you know what? Early returns on Troy Melton, I don't know if I would want to give him up either. I think he has a chance to be really freaking good.
See, let me remind people of what the deal was at the time. The Mariners right. got Suarez. The D-backs gave up a first baseman prospect, Tyler Locklear. He was the number 9 prospect in the Mariners system. Mm-hmm. Hunter Cranton was a pitcher in their system, number 16. And a Juan Burgos, which was number 17 in their system.
Right.
So a lot of people believe that was not a lock.
Correct. Now, we do know that each team judges their own prospects and other prospects by, you know, they have their own ratings for them, their own rankings. It's not, you know, we don't take Baseball America. Every team does not use Baseball America and MLB pipeline and all that stuff. So who knows? Maybe those guys were higher, I don't know, rated by the Diamondbacks. I don't know. But yeah, it'll seem like Suarez was somebody that they could have gotten. And look, he didn't do much during the regular season for Seattle. I mean, what, he have 9 home runs, I think, in the regular season?
For like Seattle, that? Yes.
Yeah,
I believe so.
For Seattle. And he hit like 180. His OPS was not very good. But just the fact of having him in the lineup means other teams have to, you know, pitch differently to your other players. That's where he right. would have helped. And he, look, all you needed him to do is probably win about, help you win 3 more games.
I'm sorry, he had 13 home runs 13 for homers? Seattle.
Okay, so a few more games could have gotten them the division, home field for the first round, which they ended up winning anyway. And would it have been enough wins for them to get the second seed, get a bye? I don't think so, but whatever. So 248-539-9797. Is there anything he said yesterday that makes you happy or makes you pissed off?
I mean, I guess for me, when he kind of talked about, well, we won more games this year. So he kind of labeled this year as a success.
Right.
Because you won a game more.
But they actually did the exact same thing they did last year.
They lost
game 5 of the ALDS on the road.
But I guess technically we were talking about pre-show. You technically were in the playoffs longer because it was a 9-inning game versus a 15-inning game. But I'm sure they'll say, hey, we were in the playoffs longer than we were last year.
Yeah.
I don't see this was a success at all. I think this was kind of a glass half full. You know,
yeah.
And the other thing that I did not like was the whole semantics. Well, if you would have just reversed how we played, and if we would have started off bad and finished strong, then I think it would be different feelings here. And it's like, okay, but that's not what happened.
No.
What happened was,
that's what happened last year.
Yeah. You guys made sure we all knew, hey, we're the first to 20, we're the first to 30, we're the first to 40. Hey, we got a bunch of fake all-stars. We got all of this stuff. And you don't get to then turn around and rewrite history. Well, you know, if we started off slow and finished strong, you guys would be feeling better. No, that's not what happened.
No.
We saw you collapse. We saw you not make any gigantic moves at the trade deadline. You tried to sugarcoat it, but that was the one, like, come on, man. Be real with the people. The people are not stupid.
Right. Well, he was real, and obviously he has vision. He's not blind. Was when they talked about the hitting. They still can't figure out what the hell happened. You know, obviously you get pitched a little differently, but the fact that the hitting just went away. Even if you take into consideration that they might have overachieved a little bit earlier hitting wise, nobody, me, you, anybody could have ever had the vision to say that this team was going to go completely down the old, you know what, swinging the bats, even though they weren't great players.
No. So that was the thing that got me. So 248-539-9797. Was this season a success? Because I don't think it was. I think that if you can make the case, it was the same as last year.
Yeah, pretty much.
But I would say last year was better because last year was unexpected. Mm-hmm. Last year was a joy. Last year was fun. Last year, we all rallied around and just said, hey, let's see how far this team could go.
This year, it was laborious. You were saying, oh, my God, when will this end? Because it was so tough to be a fan because it was such a bad watch. So, yes, this year was worse emotionally for a fan as far as, you know, nuts and bolts, wins and all that. Yeah, it's a little better, but who cares?
So, 248-539-9797. Was this season a success for you? I say no, and if you say no, how do you?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever, you can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence Data, 1H2025 compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're gonna find it.
They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Ooh. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
You fix this thing.
I'm going to give you and Kang a quiz here.
Great. Here we go, Kang.
This guy is a world champion. I'm going to give you his name, and based upon his name,
awesome.
I want you to tell me what he's the world champion of. His name is Sven Seljom.
How do you spell Seljom?
S-E-L-J-O-M.
Sven Seljom.
Yep.
My first thought goes towards like World's Strongest Man type thing. Okay.
I like where you're headed.
Sven Seljom. He was a first-time competitor. Claimed the coveted title of world champion.
Is he a first-time world champion?
He's a first-time competitor, so I... There were 30 competitors from 14 countries, including the U.S., Canada, amongst them.
Do you know who the U.S. competitor was?
I do not. The story doesn't say. Sven Seljom, world champion.
I think we got to go off the board a little bit because I feel like...
It's too... Yeah.
Don't focus on the name too much. I think that could throw us off. If it makes any sense. You know what I mean?
14 nations. What are the other nations?
Yeah.
Let's see here. 14 countries, including U.S., Canada, Norway, Australia, Pakistan, the Philippines, and Finland.
Okay. That does narrow things down.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
He said winning this was a great honor.
first heard about this competition many years ago on Norwegian radio and thought it sounded really different. Okay. I wanted to enter ever since.
Oof.
The thing that's going to throw me off is there's a guy from Pakistan as well. So you got a Paki and you got Scandinavians.
We're locked into you said Pakistan, yeah, man.
Well, I'm like thinking it's going to be something germane to cold weather, or it's going to be germane to like the strawman competition. We know where those people are from. I don't expect Pakistan to be
also
repping in the World's Strongest Man competition.
The Philippines was in there too, so I don't think, you know. I thought something cold until those two countries came up. Like maybe.
Thailand, is that part of it too or no?
I didn't say Thailand.
I'm thinking something dumb like rock, paper, scissors champion. Like something like that.
Okay.
You know? Like is there like a squid game or something?
Sven Selgem.
I'm going to go hide and seek champion.
Okay. Hide and seek champion. All right. Hide and seek. Is that your final answer? Hide and seek, and you're going rock, paper, scissors, Kang.
I'm going with kite flying.
All right. First-time competitor from Norway has stirred up success by claiming the coveted title of World Porridge-Making Champion. Sven Selgem from Mandal claimed the Golden Spurtle Trophy by adding his own twist to the Scottish delicacy at the annual event held at Carrabridge in the Highlands. His dish was made with Norwegian black oats with sea salt and water, which he brought with him from home. The black oats in his dish are of an ancient grain which used to be grown all over Europe but largely disappeared in the 1800s. Sven Selgem, World Porridge Making Champion. And there you go.
Gator, would you eat that?
I tried porridge. Yeah, I don't know porridge. Yeah. I think this is quite a letdown.
Is it?
Yeah. Porridge making.
Yep. Whereas kite flying was really exciting.
Kite flying, I mean, Kang had me. I was like, okay, kite flying. You know, this is like, you know, this guy won the chili cook-off.
In
Oslo. You know,
well, what do you think matters? He's from Norway. What do you think would do better in Norway? A chili cook-off or a porridge making championship?
I guess porridge.
Yeah,
you know,
dude won in his first try. He's a rookie.
Yeah, but so he's had this in his back pocket. When you were like. He heard about it on a radio station or something?
Yeah,
or a radio
ad. He was listening to the radio. Right.
Who do you think was judging this, Kang?
I can give you one of the judges.
Are there celebrity judges?
Are they like Food Network judges?
Yeah. Alan Rankin was one of the porridge judges. The standard this year was exceptional. It's wonderful to see the event continuing to go from strength to strength.
Alan Rankin?
Yeah. So there you go.
Is that the only...
That's the only one that's quoted in the story.
R-E-N-K-I-N?
Yes.
You a porridge guy, Doug?
I'm not. I'm more of an oatmeal dude. I'll go with some oatmeal occasionally. I like steel cut oats. You like steel cut oats? No? Just me? Okay, yep. 248-539-9797. Do you have anything else to add or we go back to the phones?
I went to Google to try to find anything about this guy. It says Australian triumphs at World Porridge Championships.
Well, there was a specialty award that went to an Australian as well.
The event's porridge chieftain, Alan Rankin.
Yep, there you go.
Told the media the standard.
Australian food stylist Carolyn Velk won the traditional porridge. The first prize goes to traditional porridge where you can only use three ingredients, oatmeal, water, and salt. The additional prize is specialty porridge. That's what the Aussie won. She made porridge yaffles, a yogurt flatbread filled with rum bananas
Wait a second.
What?
You can only use three ingredients?
For regular porridge, you can only use three ingredients.
I mean, how different can they be?
But the competition, you could use more than three ingredients, right?
Well, no. The World Porridge Champion is making traditional porridge, which is oatmeal, water, and salt. Then there's an additional prize, specialty porridge, which went to the Australian.
But for the regular porridge championship, you can only use three ingredients.
Yes.
When he
the oatmeal,
he used the black.
Salt.
He used the black. He brought the black
salt.
Oats.
Yeah,
and he brought his water from Norway, his own water.
How did he get that through TSA?
I don't know.
You don't want to know. You do not want to know.
Packed it in his. He didn't have it in his carry-on.
Obviously. Oh, yeah. Okay. He checked it.
His carry in.
All right. There you go.
I thought you could make porridge with rice, too. Am I wrong? Or
I didn't know that's what it was. I was like, oatmeal? I had no idea that's what porridge. I thought porridge was like a thick soup is what I thought.
I thought, yeah, like a with any consistency of like something creamy. Like
I'm not thinking Goldilocks. Like rocking a bowl of oatmeal and, you know, is this too much? Well, it's just, you know, oats, salt, and water. Thanks, Mama Bear.
In 2023, the winner was Pakistani.
Well,
yep. So I guess Pakistan has a deep history of porridge, high-end porridge champions.
You would think that maybe in the United States, somewhere in the, in Pennsylvania, the Amish country, maybe we got some people that are standouts.
Yeah, you might.
I'm just thinking of the Quaker oats, you know?
Yeah, but they can't take the buggies over to Norway where the competition was held. They
take a boat.
It could. Let's get back to your phone calls. Tony and Madison Heights, you're next. Hi, Tony.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking a call. You know, you're talking about where the money's coming from to hire free agents. So one thing that's never discussed, for the last year and a half, I'm sure their budget for attendance has been greatly exceeded. So that excess money has got to be going into the vault somewhere with interest and making money and just sitting there waiting to hire or sign some free agents, because what do they have, $2.4 million this year? I'm sure their budget was, you know, a lot less than that. So no one's talking about the excess. And I don't think they were, you know, like in deep straits before that, you know, like say a year and a half ago.
I would say this, Tony. I mean, I think that it's, you know, you go back and look at how much they were spending before, when Mike Ilitch was alive in the 2010 era, it was like a $200 million payroll because they were getting 2.5-3 million people through the turnstiles. I don't think it's any different than now. I do think they have money to spend. I think, and with TV deals and everything else going up, I think that they could probably spend close to $200 million if they wanted to, if not more. And if you're going to do that, go get yourself a stud starting pitcher. You can also make an offer to Tarek Skubal. You can get a stud closer. Yep. And then you promote the guys you want to promote from the lineup.
Money shouldn't be the issue.
I agree.
And one quickie on Skubal. You know, Skubal's a big quality of life guy. You know, he's from Seattle, and he's got that newborn, really young toddler. I think we should, you know, say, hey, wait a minute. You know, you want the kids to grow up in Manhattan? You want the kids to grow up in San Diego? You can't get he seems to enjoy it here. Raise your kids in, you know, the heartland of America.
You know, some people actually, you might find this crazy, but some people actually like New York and San Diego.
He actually grew up in Arizona, but yeah.
No, I'm talking about he's here now. And you know how many people retire when they jump around? Let's hockey players are big on this. When they come to Detroit, and then they get traded and go to four different, you know, stops. When they retire, they come back to Detroit. Yeah.
It's hockey players, not baseball players.
I love selling it. Yeah. You are the first person that ever has said ever, where do you want to live, Detroit or San Diego? Ugh.
San Diego is absolutely the worst.
The problem with San Diego is how expensive it is, and that's not a problem for Tarek Skubal.
No, it's not a good problem.
The weather's too good.
Who wants 82 degrees every day?
Well, let's talk to someone here that just moved here from San Diego for, you know, work, and I asked him how the weather was. He goes, every day it was perfect.
Literally, every day.
Every day. I was not too cold and not too hot. Yeah. And I wore shorts and a t-shirt.
Every day.
He just argued.
He tried.
He's a quality of life guy. What do you want to be, San Diego?
San Diego. Authentic Mexican street food? You want that?
The beaches?
Beaches? What? Or... No. Look, I love it here. I have no desire to move anywhere other than Michigan.
I love visiting San Diego.
San Diego's amazing.
But I love this state. I love the change of seasons. I would miss that if I didn't live here. But I think that's a historically interesting sell.
How about we go with this first point? Okay, they do have money.
Yes.
The question is, when all is said and done, do they care how much they're paying him if their payroll stays below a certain point?
I don't know.
You know, if they're willing to spend $210 million on a payroll, does it matter if you're spending $70 million on Tarek Skubal? I'm just throwing a ridiculous number
right,
out
sure.
there. As long as you're staying underneath that number, do you care? If he's helping you win,
it's what you probably do care when you start thinking about other players you're going to want to re-sign in the future. But
Tigers offseason is officially here. Harris and Hinch met yesterday with the media, gave some of their thoughts. And as we sit down to think about this offseason, we all start at the very same spot. What's going to happen with Tarek Skubal? And John, I think there is only one way this ends. Let's break this down. Let's take feelings out of it. Let's just go through it. Do we believe that Scott Boras and Tarek Skubal are going to want to hit the open market to get the richest contract possible?
Yes.
Okay. Do we believe the Detroit Tigers, who have one more year of Tarek Skubal control, will go all in this offseason and mortgage their future to capitalize and win a World Series next season?
No.
Okay. We're trading Tarek Skubal. Good talk.
I agree. And I think there's a lot of other factors that I think people are thinking about when it comes to Tarek Skubal. And the number one thing at the top of mind right now is 6 innings in game 5. And I would love to hear when AJ went to Tarek Skubal at the end of the 5th and they gazed into each other's eyes and they knew that Tarek Skubal only had one more inning left in him. I can't wrap my head around that. This is a do or die game. If I'm Tarek Skubal, I look at AJ when he looks at me and says, no way in hell am I coming out of this game. I'm your stud. I'm the man. I'm the guy that's going to take Detroit to the promised land. And if he can't do that, if I'm AJ Hinch, I'd rather lose with Tarek Skubal than lose with anybody else.
I don't see a world where the Tigers are giving him top dollar at the end of next season.
So what do you think top dollar is?
North of $400 million on a commitment of at least 8 years.
All right, so $50 million a year. That's where it's at.
I think that's certainly what they're going to aim for, yeah. So and I don't think the Tigers are paying the freight.
I don't know that they should.
And that's fine if you feel that way. I like Tarek Skubal. I'd rather they pay their star homegrown players. But understanding that Skubal's going to leave for the highest bidder.
Right.
The highest bidder won't be Detroit. And Detroit's not going to go all in to win a World Series with them this year. Guys, I'm taking my feelings out of it. What's best for the organization, what the right thing to do for the organization, is to trade him for the largest haul possible. Milwaukee did this with Corbin Burns. Milwaukee had the best record in baseball. If you truly believe, hey, there's not a Tarek Skubal window, we're a team, not a player, there's only so much money to go around, we're not comfortable, we're going to move on.
And so let's put feelings into it, let's put emotion into it, let's do all that stuff. And we love Tarek Skubal.
Yep.
Love it when he's on the mound. But here's the issue that I think you're going to have with Tarek Skubal. I think it's going to be either or. You sign Tarek Skubal to $50 million contract. Then you sit there and go, well, we're really hoping that Max Clark and McGonagall are the guys and that Colt Keith gets a hell of a lot better, that Riley Green figures out his swing, that you know we could find somebody that's going to come in and be next year's Gleyber Torres, but we're not going to spend money on any bats. If it's either or, then I would much rather trade him. And this is where I think the big question becomes. If Scott Harris has difficulty at the trade deadline or has difficulty dealing with other teams, is he even going to be able to pull off a trade? Do you trust him to pull off a trade of this magnitude? I mean, he's going to be the one that's doing it. He's not going anywhere.
Can I throw a name at you here?
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to just pile on Tarek Skubal, but what if he's Jake Arrieta? Jake Arrieta, hey. two flaming hot years with the Cubs. Best pitcher in baseball. Went to Philadelphia and wasn't the pitcher that he was
right
when he used those 2 years in Chicago.
And here's the thing about that eight-year, $400 million. And maybe he has another year or two like he's had with Detroit here. But what does it look like in year four? Is he the same pitcher as he is now? Is he having an arm event? Like, he's already had one.
Right.
Does he have another? He's a violent thrower.
Yep.
And then that's what we love about him.
248-539-9797. You're right. If you're not extending him this offseason, you're trading him.
Yeah, because you don't want to be left holding the bag.
Right. And do we think he's signing an extension this offseason?
No.
No. You're trading him. Like, just the cold, hard truth. You're trading Tarik Skubal, a player who we all love. A player who is arguably the best arm in baseball, yep, certainly in the American League. A guy who's going to win back-to-back Cy Young Awards. And what's right for the organization is trading him. I mean, it's crazy to say it, but guys, when you really break it down, is it not their most likely and best path?
It is. And yet, we haven't seen this in a while, but there have been some classic driving up prices for super, like, superstars at the MLB winter meetings, mm-hmm, in the past. And they have an opportunity to publicly play this if they want. Like, seriously, like, he's available. Highest bidder wins.
Yeah.
You know how, you know, delicious that is to the Dodgers and Yankees, Mets who are, you know, really failed this year after a hot start.
But here's the thing is, okay, of those teams, who can put together the best package for the Tigers?
Well, for me, if I'm the Tigers, I'm looking for a top tier pitcher as part of the deal. That's the anchor, because you've got to try to replace him to a right degree. Job's not going to start the season with the team. He may come back at some point during the season.
Yeah, but then the question is, who do you go into next year as your number one? Is it Reese Olson?
It might be Jack Flaherty, depending on what they do there.
Yeah, or my. So that's the question: is life without Tarik Skubal, what does it look like?
Oh, it's not fun. It's not a good time.
Well, Melton's in the mix.
Yeah, he'll be in the rotation next year. They all but confirmed that yesterday.
Yeah.
Saying he is a starter, and I mean, he was on the playoff team, so
yeah,
he'll be on the opening day roster as a starter. 248-539-9797. Let's get to the phones. Brad Waterford, what's up?
Good morning, guys.
What's up? Hey,
I could not be more in the same camp as you guys. Absolutely. Let me break a couple things down for you, okay? Tarik Skubal, 25 starts, all right, next year. Let's say 25. Let's say he goes to 6 innings. That's 150 innings, okay? And we're not even saying those are going to be 150 perfect innings. He's going to get rocked a couple times, okay? So right there you have $3.3 million per start for Tarik Skubal. All right, two-thirds of a game. You can't do that, all right? You flat-out can't do that. Plus, also, Tarik Skubal on November 20th turns 29 years old, okay? There could be a lockout in 2027. Very good chance. So he doesn't pitch there. Okay, so he's 30 there. He's 31 coming out in that season with, like you said, John, two arm issues, and he is a violent thrower. Okay, he is up there in years. You're looking at a Miggy contract. You can trade him, say, to the Mets. The Mets have three stud young pitchers who they brought up this year. You get two out of those three. You get Jeff McNeil, and you replenish your farm system with more arms because you got nothing down in the system that's going to be up there. Then, if you want to do something different with all that money you got for Skubal, cut it in half. Go get your Bregman. Ding, bang, boom.
Or as some would say, either way. Thanks, Brad. Appreciate it. Stefan, you're on 97.1.
Hey, good morning, guys. So I'm with the last caller. It does suck that this is where we're at, but I'm not. You think they're gonna paid that type of money to Tarik Skubal that when they weren't willing to up the contract just a little bit to get Alex Bregman, a player who plays every day in a key corner position who hits for power, which is what this team needs. They're not paying $400 million for a pitcher. And I do agree with that mindset. I just don't think you can do that. If this team had the bats and they had the hitting and they needed the pitching, then maybe you make the case for it. But this team needs a lot more. That press conference yesterday, I couldn't believe what I was listening to, that they're really close. That they're not. They're not, and they need bats. So when you trade this pitcher of this caliber, you're asking for a bat. If you're, like, he brought up a player from the Mets. If it's the Yankees, I'm asking for Ben Rice. I'm asking for players that are playing right now,
sure,
not prospects. You're getting a player now, and it's not. And I know John said for a starting pitcher, you're looking for a high-end starting pitcher. Or maybe it was you, Jim. I do see that, but I'm asking for a bat. I'm asking for a high bat, because if you're going to get a player this caliber, Schuble, you're gonna have to pay, and I think that should be a bat. And I don't know if you guys agree with that or not.
Yeah, but I mean, I know they said yesterday at the dual press conference that pitching wasn't the issue in the playoffs. Like, Harris went out of his way to highlight how well they pitched, yeah, in the postseason. And we could say Cleveland's a light hitting lineup, but Seattle certainly a good lineup,
yeah,
that they contained. And they did that with Schuble, and they also did that without Schuble. Look, it's a painful path without an ace like Schuble, but if you have to make the tough decisions, and that's his job to make the tough decisions, then yeah, you probably prioritize a bat. And you figure my rotation next year will have Olsen and Melton,
Mize,
and maybe Jack Flaherty or an equivalent player in free agency. Like, they, yeah, will use money in free agency to help offset it. Like, that's going to be the reality.
And I mean, there's got to be that happy medium of, hey, being a good defensive team starts with your pitching.
Yes.
And then being able to pair that with, you know, being able to average right around 5 runs per game. Like, that's what the Tigers were doing before the bats went silent. And that was a path to success. So can you do that defensively and hold a team to less than 5 while you're scoring more than 5 on a regular basis? You're not going to win every single game. We all know that. But you've got to have enough pitching to be able to hand it off to your lineup and say, okay, go get them.
Quick ticket text roundup. Schuble's not worth $400 million. If that's the price, let him walk. Trade him. You absolutely must trade him. You can't allocate $50 million or close to it for a guy who has an off switch at the end of the 6th inning. You could trade him, bring up the young kids. This is what Harris has wanted to do anyway. Get rid of Schuble, not a team player. He's about himself. Bye. Trade Schuble for top prospects. Melton has ace potential. Joe will be back before you know it. Well, it didn't seem like this was all that controversial, John.
No. I mean, I guess maybe we'll ask the question, is there anyone out there that wants to keep Schuble? God.
What a loaded way to ask that question, right? Anybody like this guy? Anybody?
He's about ready to get his second Cy Young. Does anybody want to keep a 2-time Cy Young award winner?
We know there'll be pushback. It'll be a conversation, not only today, but for quite a while this offseason. It's 97.1.
All right, let's get right to the people. We're having the Schuble conversation. We're doing it one time. And until or unless there is news, that's it. This truly is the final frontier of the Tiger season. If it wasn't for the scriptwriters in Kansas City, we would have done this yesterday. But we couldn't do that. So I'm asking. I've laid out the 3 options. I don't want anyone to feel like they can't call, because I don't know that there's a wrong answer. You can keep him and pay him, because he's the best pitcher you're going to get your hands on, because you don't have payroll liabilities long term, because frankly, Javi Baez and Jack Flaherty come off the books. And that's the Schuble money long term. It's a straight offset. You can trade him because you ended up here. And he's lame duck. And you don't want to lose him for a comp pick. And you trade him. And what you get is a matter of debate. But there would be major league talent involved. It would have to be. Or there's choice C, which is the hybrid. You do what you've never done before, which is be aggressive with trades, be aggressive with free agency, and you use him for everything he's got. And then he leaves. There is no wrong answer. This is a difficult situation. You tell me. I am in the camp of you trade him or you pay him. I understand both of those. I think it's really interesting is you could send a message. Not that that is the most important thing. Winning is the most important thing. But you could change the narrative around Chris Ilitch and this franchise if you paid him. Look, how many phone calls have we taken where people are mad at Chris Ilitch and I've goes, guys, they did add to the payroll. You do realize that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm no fan of his, but they added. Right. They did add. They did make a real offer to Alex Bregman. I can't knock ownership when you do that. But if you wanted to put it to bed for the last time and announce that you're going to be real, you pay him. And will it be a bad deal? Of course it will. At some point, it will be a terrible deal. Mm-hmm.
But in the near term, are you better with him or without him? Of course you're better with him.
No. You're better with him, Mike, but I think this team is building up to the big reveal in a few years. And I know a lot of people don't want to hear that.
Okay, cut scene. Then you trade him. There's nothing to talk about.
Okay.
If Scott Harris's view of the deadline is his view of this franchise, and it's still wait for the kids, trade him.
Go get more kids?
Yeah, trade him. You're wasting everybody's time. You may as well collect Pokemon cards. Go ahead. Get some prospects. Let's get all rocked up for somebody who won't be here until 2030.
Oh, yeah, because if I had to do a power ranking, I would go just ride him out till the wheels fall off, trade him right now in this offseason.
Sign him would be last?
Sign him would be absolutely the last thing I would do.
To the people. John's in the leadoff spot today, 97.1. Johnny, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good,
hey.
John.
What? Thank you. What I'm doing is nobody's worth 10 years. I don't care who it is. He is not going to be pitching as effective, I would say, 3 years down the road. Mm-hmm. So why are you giving him $400 million? You trade him, you get the best offers you can get, and you play him. You put him out there on a string. And then you still go out and spend money that you saved. I know you're going to be paying some of these guys later, but you go out and get the best people that you get and have at it next year. Bring up some kids that are going to be with you. And then maybe you got a 3, 4, 5 year run. Keeping him is going to destroy this organization.
Why do you say that, though? Just so I understand. Why do you say it'll destroy you?
I don't think he has more than 3 years. I don't think he has 3 years
left.
A guy who pitches 100 miles an hour, man. How old is he? I don't even know.
It's approaching 30.
10 years?
Yeah, no, listen. Okay. No, John, again, there's no wrong answer. And if you, heart, you believe you've gotten the two best years he's going to give you, maybe you get one more and then it's a slow decline. I'm not going to yell at you because if that's your belief, you can't pay him. And you trade him. Now I'm glad you said that. So, David, you have a trade proposal. This is something, John, this is something people have floated out there in the media spaces. I told David, don't tell me what it is pre-show because I like natural response to just stuff. I don't think pre-packaged radio is very good. So, David, out of the hermetically sealed envelope, what is this trade? Who are we trading Scooble to? Let me hear if I like this.
This is a deal to the Yankees.
Oh, God. Well, the Yankee system sucks, so there better be major league people involved here.
So the Tigers will be getting Jason Dominguez.
Oh, the Martian.
Mm-hmm. Luis Gill. It's Elmer Hill. Rodriguez Cruz.
Okay.
And Dax Gilby.
Wait, who was the third name?
Elmer Rodriguez Cruz.
See, here's your problem. Now, Dominguez has not progressed in a way that I'm satisfied with as a Yankee fan. Can you play him in the outfield? Yes. Does he have titanic power if he can hit the baseball? Yes. Can he stay healthy? Not really. Luis Gill was your AL Rookie of the Year last year. Good pitcher, started the year hurt this year.
He struggled this year,
yeah,
for sure.
And I think injuries had a lot to do with it this season. But Luis Gill would be in your rotation. So you're getting a rotational piece. You're going to get an outfielder you're going to play every day. Again, risk it, biscuit with Dominguez. Very toolsy. And then you're getting two prospects. Now, the problem for me, I don't hear George Lombard Jr. in there.
Yeah, that's
the Yankees' number one prospect. That's another middle infielder. And if you're moonlighting McGonagall, maybe playing third at some point, or McGonagall playing second, right. Yes, you have Bryce Rainier, who is hurt, but he's a shortstop. Look, that deal doesn't compel me. That deal doesn't make me feel great about dealing Scooble.
Right, I'm saying, is that the market for Scooble? Right,
well, hey, I'm not the one who waited till he was expiring.
No, that wasn't towards you. No, that's just me saying, like, oh, that was okay.
That's how I felt about John's suggestion of Pat Fitzgerald to state. I go, well, that's something? Question mark. Okay, we'll get to that later.
We're having hot dogs for dinner. All right.
Oh, Kenny just perked up. So again, David, and if you want, I know there are other offers that have been crafted. Feel free. I think people are going to get a reality check about what trading him looks like with 1 year to go. Let's go to Chris, 97.1. Chris, what's going on, bud?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey, good. Chris.
All right. So, yeah, I think option B with a caveat, and I'll explain. So I think you try to get as much out of him as you can because with the multiple surgeries and stuff, I don't think he's worth the money like the other guy was saying. But the caveat is the Cam Ward. If we're keeping it a buck and they ask, I'm going to try to trade him right at the trade deadline – and try to get something from them if you guys aren't, you know, with a winning record. Now, I've seen some of the other trade packages, and I'm a Mets and a Tigers fan. I saw the Mets package, and I wouldn't do it as a Mets fan, in all honesty. And I wonder if the Tigers are kind of looking at this with the lockout in mind in the upcoming year with the possible cap or floor with the salaries. I just was kind of curious what you thought about that, Mike.
Well, I'm telling you, my fear in all of this, and Chris, I'm glad you brought this up. I was intentional that I didn't make it a part of the initial presentation. I think if the Dodgers win this thing, you're going to see a lengthy, lengthy lockout. I think you're going to have labor war after this season, like a nuclear winter. Because, again, they've done everything to circumvent rules,
yeah.
The deferred money, the endless spending, owning their own TV network. The rest of the league is not happy. Now, if there's a stoppage, it throws everything into chaos, including if you decide to go down this road and pay him or not. So, look, yes, I think we're headed for a labor war. Now, if we put that to the side and we just deal with what 2026 looks like, I think Tiger fans have to ask themselves a question. And it's not a fun one. You have to ask yourself, are the last 2 years because we're good or because this division, if we keeping it a buck, is ass? This division features one team that's getting sold. Now it's not, but it is. But the payroll's always going down. The Guardians, who got a new minority owner and somehow got cheaper. The Royals, who are dead as a doorknob. And the White Sox, who did get sold and suck. It's four of the lowest payrolls in the league, and then you. It's a bad division. If you think last 2 years have something to do with the fact you don't play in a real division, then trading him doesn't hurt that much because you're not good enough in the first place.
That's an interesting
perspective. And it's not a fun question. I know
no,
that.
No, that's
I try.
That's mind blowing, right?
No,
now.
It's
no.
Just,
I mean, I think both things can be true, but you're right. If you're not anywhere else, so you're going to be still stuck in this division. So
if I trade him, I free up the money I was going to pay him, and I can get three ball players for that.
And you probably can still compete and win this division.
Hello. Where's that stupid drop? Not that you're stupid. Where's that?
No, I'm.
There it is. 248-539-9797. More of your phone calls coming up next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever, you can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence Data, 1H 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. Mm. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
All right, so, I mean, here we go again with Alex Bregman. Is this happening again? Because all the reports are that he's opting out of his contract with the Boston Red Sox.
Well, it can. I mean, if you're the Tigers, how do you want to approach that? If the offer was 6 years and $173 million, I think was the offer, something like that, which was under $30 million a year, $29 million a year, whatever it was, 28-something, do you want to give him that same offer? And would he be more apt to take it? Because had you offered him 7 years and $210 million or $213 million, would he have taken that last year because it would have been past that $30 million threshold that clearly Scott Boras wanted? And I'm saying that because you're adding the $40 million he got paid by the Red Sox, and now you're just giving him the deal you would have wanted last year. Would you still want to do that? To me, I don't know if it's necessarily a money thing anymore. What it is now for me, my concerns about Bregman, and I was all about Bregman last year, I had a slight reservation because of injured past. He's going to be 32. My concern now is injuries. He only played 114 games with Boston this past year after playing only 145 with Houston the year before. He has missed parts of two other seasons, significant parts of two other seasons, where he only played 42 and 91 games, respectively, in 2020 and 2021. I like Alex Bregman. I think he's a very good player. But that's a major concern. It was my concern with Carlos Correa back a few years ago when he was a free agent, when everybody's looking at Carlos Correa, Javi Baez, and the other shortstops were available, Corey Seager and all that. I really like Correa, but you couldn't count on Correa being healthy. And guess what? He was never healthy with the Twins, and now he's back with Houston. So I don't think if I'm the Tigers, I'm going to give him the six-year, $170-plus million offer. Would I make him a short-term offer like Boston did? I don't think he's going to take that. So, I mean, you got to think about what your numbers really would be. What's realistic for the Tigers to offer him at 32 and coming off another injured season?
I see this more as a Bregman is added to the pool of hitters, which adds to the supply, which means if not Bregman, somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I swear to God, if you find an archive of our show from 2017, we might be talking about Kyle Tucker. And we can do it again because he is a free agent this year. And so is Schwarber and Bichette and Pete Alonso. And I do wonder a little bit, and I'm intrigued to hear Tiger fans on this. Is this a blank that guy situation? Because last year, Detroit, for a long time, had the only offer on the table, remember? And he waited and waited and waited and waited and waited till he could get more offers, and then he ended up getting one from the Cubs and one from the Red Sox. And he didn't say, I couldn't find an actual quote that said he chose Boston over Detroit because he had a better chance to win. But he did say he chose Boston because I feel like I have a great opportunity to win here. Quote, that was a quote. And mm-hmm. He went on to say, obviously playing at Fenway is awesome. Playing for a city that not only loves winning but expects to win. I like playing in those pressure-packed environments, and I feel like I got that here in Boston. I think he's doing the punch button. This is my new team. I love you. I love your town. I love your stadium. I love this organization. I don't think that's a slight to Detroit, okay? But I just wonder, the fans feel like, yeah, blank you, that ship sailed.
I think some will, for sure. And I just think if you, again, look at the player, what you would be getting, and can you justify paying $30 million a year for a guy who hasn't driven in 100 runs since 2019? For a guy who hasn't hit over 30 home runs in a season since 2019? You know, for a guy who hasn't hit above 275 since 2019. His best days are probably behind him. And he's playing in Boston.
Yeah.
Where you should be able to just pepper the ball off the wall and have a mess load of doubles. He had 28 doubles and 18 homers last year. His OPS was 821. It was nice. But you know what he did in September? Nothing. He hit like 219 for the month of September. His OPS, I think, was in the 600 range in September. We saw that enough here with the players we had. I'd probably move away from Bregman. There are, as you mentioned, there are other players, very productive players, that you might have to find creative ways to see how they fit into the lineup if you really want to add that bat. I mean, Pete Alonso, you're having a hard discussion with Spencer Torkelson about what's going to happen because he's a first baseman DH type. I mean, he certainly can play a ton of DH. But that's a guy who brings a ton of power. Kyle Schwarber was a fantastic power this past season with 56 home runs and 132 driven in, but also struck out 197 times, which is what he did last year. And before that was 215 and 200. So it's another high strikeout guy, but high reward clearly with the 56 home runs that he hit. Some of that might be the ballpark playing out there in Philadelphia, but I mean, there are guys who put up some pretty good numbers that you can look at. And of course, the aforementioned Kyle Tucker, who I think is clearly a $30 million player. I don't know if Bregman is anymore.
Yeah. And I mean, Bregman, we hung another year on him did this before. And I didn't love the 6-year length of contract. And it was, to me, it was a question of how many bad years are there going to be on the end of the contract?
Yeah.
Would he have helped them this year? Of course. Of course he would have helped. And will he help them next year? I don't see the punch button ready-made third base prospect, right? I mean, isn't that the one position that we're like,
Well, I think they envisioned Colt Keith being that guy. And the reason that he wasn't there to start the year is because he did have arm issues and his arm wasn't completely healed and throwing the ball. When eventually they made the switch and let him play over at third base.
Yeah.
It was because they said that the arm issues had cleared up and now he can throw the ball again. And it was a mixed bag, a work in progress with him over at third base. But they do have, is that a position where they look at Max Anderson, that he gets a chance to be brought up and play over there? You know, are they totally done with Chase Young? I mean, they could trade somebody, you know, one or both of those guys. Who knows what they end up doing this offseason? Scott Harris has a ton of options if he wants to promote or if he wants to trade, which players he can trade and which players he wants to promote. That's for sure. And then if you just want to give the job to Colt Keith over at third base, and then it's an opportunity at second base for McGonigal or Max Anderson, okay.
The other thing about this is a Boris client.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever I see a Boris client, and we went through this song and dance last year, I think whatever offer Detroit makes, he's going to go to the bigger market teams and say, top this. Getting involved with a Boris client, it's a little different with Scooble because he's already here. But I only feel like Boris will let and Bregman will sign with Detroit if it's a massive overpay. And that's a hard thing for me to escape. And that, does it make sense? I mean, I don't think there's a chance in hell Scooble's signing here.
Yeah, maybe not.
And so now it's like, here's this guy who's represented by Boris that could help Detroit, but given the way the agent operates, and I'm not like, I get that he's doing his job. Okay.
Yeah.
But it feels like I'm only going to Detroit if I rook you guys, if I completely work you over.
Well, and I think that the deal that they had reportedly worked out last year, I don't think the Tigers got worked over in that. I think where the Tigers got worked in any way was that they were told initially, or at least the reports were, that Alex Bregman was not open to taking a shorter term contract. And then what does he end up doing? Rejects the Tigers' offer and takes a shorter term contract. He took a 3-year, $120 million deal with Boston. It's going to pay him $40 million a year, but had the outs after each year. And that was kind of maybe, I don't know if Scott Harris felt blindsided or not, but I'll tell you, me as a fan and somebody who was following that case very closely, I felt a little blindsided by that because I was like, wait a minute, I thought that was off the table. You couldn't do that.
Yeah.
And here it was. The Tigers thought that they had the deal done and then it gets pulled out from underneath him. That certainly gives me fuel to say, yeah, adios, I don't need to do this again. But really, it's the 114 games he played last year, and more importantly, the 50 that he didn't play
right
last year. So I'm looking elsewhere. And last I checked, Kyle Tucker's agent is not Scott Boras. Kyle Tucker's going to get a messload of money from somebody. You know what would be awesome is if the Cubs go out and get Alex Bregman, because that takes away money that they would spend on Kyle Tucker.
248-539-9797. Steve on a cell. You're on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Steve.
Hey, boys. I'm wondering if it would be better to go like with a second so-called tier type guy rather than loading up on a marquee name like Bregman, kind of like how everybody was gung-ho on Suarez. Yeah, Suarez helped in down the road a bit, but come playoffs, didn't do too much. Bregman kind of trailed off, obviously, with the injury. And how does it actually work? I don't remember what Bregman signed with Boston. And
it was a $40 million a year. It was
if we were to sign him here.
Bregman had a Steve
Bellinger is going to opt out of his contract in New York. I wouldn't mind seeing a guy like that. Probably get him for a little bit less money.
Do you want to answer his question?
The Red Sox got him for, I think it was a three-year, $120 million deal. So it was $40 million a year, but he had the outs after each year. So that's what the deal was. Would he accept another one like that? No. Then he would just stay in Boston, because it was up to it was his opt out. He opted out of the deal. He's not opting out of that deal so he can sign another short term deal for the same money.
Yeah.
He's opting out of that deal because now he wants to jump on the 6-year deal from some team like the Tigers or the Cubs and get close to $30 million a year. And this will likely be, you know, that last big contract.
It's all business, but this feels like a total manipulation by Boras and Bregman. Give himself the Boston contract with the out so he can go back the next year when he's less valuable and take the same offer that Detroit gave. And by less valuable, I mean a 6-year deal makes less sense this year than it did last year, right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. The whole thing feels like I can't help but feel like we'd be groveling back on our knees. Oh, please, please. And that doesn't sit well with me, but that doesn't mean it's not good business. Would Alex Bregman help the 2026 Detroit Tigers? I think he would.
Yeah, he'd be an improvement.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I can't count on a play 150 games.
We're into the Tigers. Carson Anderson, 97.1
The Ticket. I have a chance to right or wrong. John, I'm going to play a drop, and then we're going to have a conversation.
Okay.
Alex Bregman has opted out. Surprise, surprise. He's going to be a free agent. And they can right their wrong. Last year, they pursued him. They offered him a deal, the most guaranteed money of any team. And he countered them. Mm-hmm. And they said no. And he would go on to have a better year than any Tiger bat. He hit 300 in his 3 playoff games. Sure would have liked to have that in the old English D. John, I would argue it was a bigger mistake than anything that happened at the trade deadline that they didn't accept Alex Bregman's counteroffer. 6 years, 186 with a 1-year opt-out.
Right, and they wanted the 2-year opt-out.
Yeah, and they wanted it to only be $170 million, and they wanted to defer money, and he didn't want to defer money. What are we talking about? The difference was $15 million over a 6-year deal. You paid Alex Cobb $15 million to throw 0 pitches. The biggest mistake Harris made isn't the deadline. It's not accepting and bringing Alex Bregman into the fold. And now, John, we're going to do it all over again.
You got a do-over.
The one that got away is single again. She posted on Facebook. You can pursue it.
So Bregman is going to be the top name because he fills two needs. Third base, right-handed bat.
And contact swing.
Yep.
Doesn't strike out a lot. Pro approach at the plate. He's a Scott Harris dream come true.
Yeah. And it's the consistency at the plate that you need, especially when you're on the heels of the loss and you look at 2 through 5. There was no consistency. There's no consistency in the lineup all season long because that's why AJ always had a new leadoff hitter, always had somebody else at 2, 3, 4, 5. You know, the only consistency was Dingler, you know, 7 or 8, Javi Baez, Parker Meadows at the end of the season. So you knew who the bottom of your lineup was going to be, but you never knew what the top was going to look like because it was all about pitching matchups.
Now, moving forward, you're still going to have variance in the lineup because you want to have that ability to go pitching matchups, but you have to have that individual somewhere in the top four that you know can put bat on ball at some point.
When hitters 2 through 5 go 0-23 with 10 strikeouts in an elimination game that spanned 15 innings, I'm going to venture that Alex Bregman would have made contact and would have had a hit in 15 innings. That's a bigger miss than anything that we bitch about with the trade deadline. And now you can fix it. Like, imagine that. Life has given Scott Harris a do-over, a second chance to right the wrong.
And some of it could have just been, you know, contact. Right. Being able to, when you get, you know, Kerry Carpenter up and he's got a handful of singles outside of the home run, and you're like, okay, he's on base, but we have nobody behind him that's even moving him forward.
So our question to you is, Alex Bregman, yes or yes? This is the best free agent this team could add. I know you're going to roll your eyes, not this again. Can we just agree this is the top target and the Tigers need to spend what it takes to land him?
And can you get over the fact that he didn't choose you?
Because, look, I know Tiger fans booed him mercilessly this season, and I had no issue with it because he's on the opposite side and it's right. Sports. But let's not get it twisted. You wish he was a Detroit Tiger.
Yes.
And any other argument to the contrary is you and your feelings.
Now he has. You have a chance to get in that sweepstakes again. There are other free agents, and we'll throw out some names sure. Here in a moment, but the number one that you should be looking at is Alex Bregman. Because and it's not just what he does at the plate. It's not just third base. It's his experience.
John, think about this. The depressing conversation we had about Tarek Skubal yesterday about how if you can't extend him, you probably have to trade him because you're not going all in.
Yeah.
What if you went all in? What if you added Bregman and another bat and said, I'll roll the dice on Skubal. I'll get to the deadline and figure it out. I'm more willing to do it if I have an offseason that justifies it. And at the top of that offseason checklist is Alex Bregman. Now, there are other bats. Bo Bichette hit 300. Yep. He's had a really good season two of the last 3 years. He's an infield right-handed bat.
Yep.
He could play short. You could bump Javi to third. You can get creative.
Yeah.
Some other names out there, John. Kyle Tucker.
Kyle Tucker, who's 29.
AJ Connection had just as many walks as strikeouts. Uh-huh. Pro approach at the plate. It bumps Carey to DH. It puts a big bat in the lineup. Now, he's a lefty, but again, it's not MLB The Show, so I don't think they're going to add Bregman and Tucker, but there's no salary cap and you aren't currently paying Skubal. Right. If he turns you down, there's a way to still allocate that money and be bold and aggressive and chase a World Series.
Cody Bellinger is another name.
Pete
Alonso.
Yep.
Brought him up earlier. There are a lot of options of guys that are free agents. And another one that you brought up that I think is a great bat and is a great baseball player, Josh Naylor.
Sure. Let him be the dirtbag on our team.
You know, I think it's imperative, though, that this is a right-handed bat. And that's why I said Alonso as the backup plan.
Yeah.
I don't know if Alonso would be interested in taking a huge, you know, kind of a Bregman-type contract from the Tigers, where you go $40 million and maybe not quite that much per year, but you give them the opt-out. Because it's all, if you get Bregman and Alonso, it's all in with Skubal. You're not trading them unless you're terrible at the deadline.
Yeah.
I mean, you really keep your options open. But to me, we're... Jim has been hell-bent on a third baseman for two off seasons in a row. So imagine Chapman or Bregman on this team. They probably do more, but it's just...
They're still playing right now.
For the people who want to argue, well, we don't want to block somebody. No, the need is third base. There is not, you're not blocking anybody. Jace Young is not going to be a good player.
Yeah, who is the long-term system third baseman?
If they're going to try to toy with putting McGonagall there, which they say he can play third, but he's the shortstop. If you bring Bregman in... He's your third baseman. I would want McGonagall at short to start the season. I don't know if they're going to do that, but I'd love to see it.
And then what you put Javi is like a center field rover.
Keith is at second. Torque's at first.
Yeah.
And you put Javi at center to platoon with Meadows.
To their credit, Colt Keith can play second or third, or I guess first. McGonagall, they're playing at short, third, and second. Javi can play all over. Like, it's if you add a Bregman, those guys can still have roles on the team.
In this world, Matt Vierling is just a bench guy, or they move him.
Sure.
Zach McKenstry is probably a utility player because he can play all over.
Right. So you just so everyone who's listening can have the same information that we have in regards to, you brought up Jace Young as you don't want to block this guy. And I'm not saying you said that because no one thinks that he's going to be a productive third baseman for the Tigers, especially not on the level of Bregman. But the other guys that are in the system, and we heard about one of them early on, Hau-Yu Lee.
Yeah.
I think everybody would rather have Bregman than Hau-Yu Lee. The other one that is somewhat intriguing, and he plays second and third, but again, I think you would rather have Bregman while he continues to develop, and that's Max Anderson.
Right. And the Tigers are going to run into something this offseason where their farm system's good and their 40-man roster is going to be really stressed again. Like, I'm pretty sure Hau-Yu Lee has to be on the 40-man roster, so someone has to leave it. There's going to be a squeeze.
Yeah.
So rather than have a million young players that you can't keep all of anyway, start getting some solidified lockdown guys. Let's get to Bill in New Baltimore. Bill, you're on 97.1.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up?
I would definitely go after Bregman. Trade Scooble at the winter meetings, and what do you do about second base now? Because Torres was only a one-year deal, wasn't he?
Yeah, I would think Colt Keith. I know it's not inspiring.
I don't like it.
I know.
I don't like it. Now, Polanco from Seattle was on a one-year deal for $8 million, but he's got a player option.
He'll opt out, especially after a big postseason. One last payday for him. I wouldn't be mad at that.
Bill, you mentioned something interesting there. Now, if you go get Bregman, why does that automatically trigger the Scooble trade? Because if you have him and you're starting to put together a lineup that might be a little bit more potent, why not keep Scooble and go for the series this year?
John, they're not signing him.
I understand that. But that wasn't my question. This is a one shot at the World Series with Scooble. You got a better chance with Scooble than without.
I agree with you, but In other words,
Bill, you'd be saying I'm going to lose him for quote nothing, but I think I got a real shot to win a World Series. I don't feel that way without Alex Bregman or an impact bat, and call it two.
Yeah.
I mean, if they told me, hey, I'm adding Bregman and Naylor.
Yeah.
Okay. You know what? Maybe I will roll the dice on Scooble that he could leave because I feel like I'm a real World Series contender.
Yeah.
But if it's, hey, man, we found like a platoon bat and we brought, you know, another arm in. Yeah. And we're just kind of
smoke and mirrors.
Yeah. Like at that point, you trade Scooble and you don't risk losing him for nothing. So it's all kind of connected and interconnected for the Tigers.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever, you can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence Data, 1H2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing is precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly,
clean,